Summer is almost here, and you can now get almost anything you need delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? You can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get chicken parmesan delivered. Sunshine? No. Some wine? Yes. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. See app for details.
Great brands, great prices. Everyone's got a reason to rack.
Because they have framed jeans.
Nike? Yes.
Just so many good brands.
Vince, Kurt Geiger, London, Rag & Bone, and more are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. You never know what you'll find, but you know it's going to be so good. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Ask the expert on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Standard Life. Retirement needs to be redefined, and as retirement experts, we're on a mission to do it.
Well, now we're joined by our Monday expert, Motti Varghese, who's a senior sleep physiologist at Sleep Therapy Clinic, and he's going to answer all your sleep-related questions. Motti, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you and to your listeners. Thank you.
Now, first things, is there anything that people with broken sleep can do, little rules, to make sure that they get a better night's sleep?
I think if I could elaborate it a little bit, there are two different types of sleep difficulties that we experience. One is a difficulty with the quantity of sleep. You go to bed and you're taking a very long time to fall asleep, or you wake up at night and have difficulty getting back to sleep. In those instances, we will end up having very limited total sleep time or sleep quantity, despite having an adequate sleep opportunity. The second is the other set of sleep disorders, where we will have broken sleep, or what we call fragmented sleep, where we're waking up too many times at nighttime. There can be several reasons for that. One is environmental factors. If the light level isn't right, if it is very noisy, if the temperature isn't right like these days, they can cause fragmented sleep. There are also physical or physiological factors like snoring and sleep apnea, restless legs, having stomach difficulties. All of them can cause multiple awakenings at night. The third is the psychological factors. If you have a lot of stress or anxiety, we are at a state of heightened alertness, and that can also cause multiple awakenings at night. So we have to identify which of these is causing the multiple awakenings and try and rectify it.
Now, are there, as I said, rules? For example, I wouldn't drink coffee going to bed.
Yes. There are certain rules that we all should follow, and the two most important ones are having a consistent wake time and also having a reasonably consistent bedtime. So that will make sure that we had enough wake period during the daytime before we attempt sleep, because it's when we stay awake that we build up our appetite or appetite for sleep, or what we call sleep drive in medical terms or scientific terms, and we build up that appetite for sleep. And the second rule, which is good to follow, is to reduce the light exposure for the last couple of hours before our bedtime. And by doing that, we're sending the right signal to the body that the sun has set and that it is time to go to bed and sleep.
Now, what about a screen, be it a phone or a laptop or a TV screen? What effect
is that? Yeah, so the closer the light source is to our eyes, the more imbalanced it has. So it'll be very, very useful to avoid using our smartphones or iPads or laptops in the last 2 hours before bedtime.
And phones, people use phones in bed even, and they can be very close to the eye.
Exactly, yeah. So that can cause difficulties in two different ways. One is the light itself can send the wrong signal to the body. The second is you engage your brain and you make yourself feel more alert by looking at information, whether by booking holidays or doing online shopping. And there are other secondary factors, like avoid caffeine for 6 to 8 hours. I don't like to be prescriptive, but there are people who can drink a cup of tea at 8 p.m. and go to bed and sleep without any difficulty. There is that individual variability, but we just have to be careful about it. We also pay attention to keeping a cooler body temperature. So if we eat close to bedtime, if we exercise close to bedtime, or if we take a hot shower close to our bedtime, that can increase our core body temperature, or the internal body temperature, and that may not be helpful for sleep.
Now, some of the questions coming in. Sure. Could your expert address the question of people who get a full night's sleep but no benefit from it? They feel exhausted all day.
Yes, and that's when we have to look at the quality of sleep. Is sleep fragmented? And we don't have to be waking up all the time to call it a fragmented sleep. Sleep has different stages. And sometimes when we get these little arousals in our brain where we're not physically waking up, it prevents the progression of sleep into deeper, refreshing stages of sleep. And in those instances, we can wake up in the morning and feel like we didn't get a good night's sleep, or we don't feel rested.
I'm wondering if it matters at what stage in your sleep you are woken. Your alarm clock goes, but you might be deep in REM sleep, for example.
Yes.
And you don't feel great.
That is true as well. So it's always best to wake up at the end of a sleep cycle, which we don't have much control over. But if you can adjust your alarm time accordingly, and if you can wake up naturally, or at least do that for a few days and find out what's your natural wake up time in the morning, that'll be helpful.
I only sleep 6 hours a night. I feel great after a night's sleep, but so many people say it's not enough. You're not getting enough sleep. I go to bed at midnight like clockwork. I'm up at six every morning. I'm 40 years of age. I would like to know, should I change my sleeping habits to get more sleep?
The recommended sleep duration is 7 to 9 hours, but there is also the not recommended sleep duration, which is under 6 hours or over 10 hours. If you're sleeping under 6 hours, you're accumulating a sleep debt, which is not good in the long run. If you have to sleep over 10 hours, it's because the sleep quality is poor and you'll have a tendency to sleep for a longer period.
But if he's feeling great in the morning, up at six,
it's perhaps okay for him. But if he has the opportunity to sleep longer, maybe just add another half an hour if he can do that without forcing himself to do it.
Can you ask your expert what to do on those nights where you just cannot get to sleep? I find myself tossing and turning and thumping the pillow. I hear people say, get up and make hot milk, but I don't want to leave the bed. What do you do?
Okay, our first sleep opportunity, we only get one opportunity to fall asleep when you go to bed and when you wake up at night, and that's usually in the first 20 minutes. If you don't fall asleep in the 20 to 30 minutes, you're going to get frustrated. When you get frustrated, you're going to make yourself hyper alert, and it is going to take a very long time to fall asleep. So get up, leave your bedroom for half an hour, go downstairs, watch TV, read a book, listen to some music, but try and avoid food, and then come back in half an hour and start again. And it will strengthen the bed sleep association and condition your body to see bed as a place to be sleeping.
Question here from another listener. Over the summer, my 14-year-old boy is staying up till about 2 a.m. watching movies, but then he stays in bed until about 2 p.m. I take it's a teenage thing, but I'd love advice on how to slowly get him back to proper routine in sleep when school starts.
Yeah, I think we need to be careful with that. Teenagers can have a tendency to have a delayed sleep phase, which is a socially acceptable bedtime and wake time, if you can call it, between 11 and 7. The body clock of some teenagers can be a little bit delayed, where they won't feel sleepy until a later time. So we have to use light to gradually advance the sleep phase. So use more light in the morning to gradually advance, and also reduce the light in the evening hours, and also engage in relaxation practices like watching TV or reading a book.
But if you've got the rule, when they're back at school, you've got to be in bed by a certain time.
Exactly.
The mobile phone's got to be off.
Yeah.
So after a few days, he'll adjust.
So we have 4 or 5 weeks to go. So if you start now, we can gradually bring it forward and make sure that he is alert at a more reasonable time in the morning.
Does napping serve a purpose?
It does. In the modern industrialized society that we live in, we often struggle to get a good quantity of sleep at nighttime for various valid reasons as well. So in those instances, even 15 to 20 minutes of nap during the day is proven to improve our alertness, productivity, and also creativity. So we have a slump period in the afternoon that is between 2 and 5. That is the second sleepiest time in 24 hours is between 2 and 5 in the afternoon.
But if you do manage to nap, and I'm not a good napper, I find it very difficult, but some people can switch off like that have a nap. It doesn't impair your quality of sleep for later if you
Yes, there are certain nap-related rules. Keep the nap as short as you can, never over 45 minutes, and finish the nap by 4 p.m. And you can also go to bed that much later. So if your usual bedtime is 11, and if you nap for half an hour, go to bed at half 11 that night. It allows you that extra time to build up your appetite for sleep, which you used up by taking that nap.
And just a final thing about napping. I mean, what kind of sleep do you get in a 30 to 45 minute nap? I mean, do you go into REM sleep?
We don't. We actually go through stage one and stage two sleep usually. Now, the reason why we limit it to 45 minutes is once you close the 45 minutes, you're into the stage three sleep, which is a very deep sleep. And if you went into deep sleep, when you wake up, you can feel more groggy and tired than you actually went for nap. And it takes a longer time to snap out of it.
Well, it's fascinating. Motti, thank you very much for answering our listeners' questions. Motti Verghes, who is a senior sleep physiologist at the Sleep Therapy Clinic. And that's all we have time for. A reminder that our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.
When living with cancer, it's important to be informed and know what to expect. But finding the right information can feel overwhelming. That's why UnderstandCancerTogether.com is here to help. We've gathered practical information and resources based on where you are in your cancer journey so that you can focus on the important conversations and decisions of today. UnderstandCancerTogether.com, helping you navigate life with cancer one moment at a time.